part of my opening prayer, I just want to read a section which came up in one of our praise songs this morning, and it's from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Lord, would you please open up your word to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit? Drive it deep into our minds and hearts, Lord. Correct us, encourage us. Send us out from this place to love and serve you, to love our neighbor as ourself. And by doing that, to bring glory to your name. Amen. I want to begin by telling you a very short story. It's kind of a cheesy story, but it's about chopping wood. And by the end of the sermon, I hope it's obvious what it actually has to do with the fourth commandment. It's not about breaking the commandment by chopping wood on the Sabbath day. Here's the story. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other guy had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." "Ah, but you didn't notice," said the other, "that when I sat down to rest, I was sharpening my axe." Yeah. You've probably heard that before. I say that in honor of my relatives in New Brunswick, some of whom still chop wood for a living. Sharpening my axe. Sharpening your axe is a good way to describe the Ten Commandments. If you want to find a modern way to think about the Ten Commandments, think of it that way. They're a framework for Christian living, and they're a boundary for living as well. When we follow the Big Ten, the Lord sharpens us as disciples, so that we are growing as disciples of Christ. An interesting thing happens when we do this. When we live inside the boundaries that God gives, we actually flourish as people. Human flourishing is a very popular and trendy term nowadays. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, as you can imagine. Even though people disagree about what flourishing means and how you actually get there, we all agree that we want to flourish as people. We all want to flourish as people. It's a good thing. Well, as people who follow Jesus, the Ten Commandments are given for our flourishing. They actually will help us flourish as people because they're a framework for holy living. That's a good way to think of them. The Bible teaches that God chooses a people for himself and then calls those people into a relationship with his Son. It's helpful to think of the Big Ten as that framework. These are the rules for being in the relationship. If you don't like to be in church and hear the word rules, I understand that, but I want to try to say that the word rule is not a bad thing because the way the Lord gives us rules, they're actually meant to help us flourish. And when he gives a rule telling us don't do a certain thing, it's actually meant to protect us. And if you still don't believe that, then how about something a friend said to me? They said, "These are 10 commandments, not 10 options." So God always wants the best for us. This is a framework for holy living. It's meant to give us the best and bring us the best by partly protecting us from going into certain areas. The fourth commandment in this series is the one that commands us to observe or remember the Sabbath. Sabbath comes from the word meaning rest. Literally, the verse says, "Observe or remember the rest day by keeping it holy." God told the people of Israel to set apart one day. So work for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, rest. You may have noticed in Deuteronomy that the instructions are very, very specific and detailed. If I'd been there, it would have been helpful for me just to get the command, you know, rest. And then I could have gone away and figured out what rest actually means. God is very detailed here. He says, don't do any work. So that means you. It means your family members, your kids. It means your servants, if you have those. So if you're like the family in Downton Abbey, the servants had a day off, right? We saw that in the TV show. Any foreigners living among you, any guests, they get the day off as well. So it's a complete absence of work. Now, it even says the work animals. So this is a complete and total rest. Now, that doesn't really apply today, because if you have a dog and your dog is like mine, he's always resting. So, but he is a dog who historically looked after sheep. He used to work, but now every day is a Sabbath day for old Max. He is retired, exactly. When you think of having a complete rest, what comes to your mind? Nice sleep in on a Sunday morning, maybe. You know, the new mattress from Sleep Country, maybe, a nice rest. Maybe a week away in a cabin with a stack of books and some coffee. Maybe an overseas vacation. Or maybe just no responsibilities for the week. I don't have to cook for a week. I don't have to run around and do housework and do errands. Well, whatever it means to you, the fourth commandment was meant to tell Israel to remember two things. Israel, remember two things in the fourth commandment. Here's the first one. Israel was told to remember that God himself rested after making everything. After the work of creation was finished, God rested. When I was growing up and I remember learning the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, I never quite understood what it meant. I actually literally thought God went away somewhere, you know, on vacation and not to be heard of. So the word God rested is a bit misleading. It doesn't mean he was tired after the work of creation. He spoke. He created effortlessly because he's the Lord of the universe. He has that kind of power. He doesn't get tired as we get tired. He doesn't need to go off to the hammock on the seventh day to rest. It's not a physical need. Instead, the resting points to the real purpose of creation. The resting tells us why he created in the first place. When God rested on the seventh day, it means that the work of creation was finished. We notice something interesting in the first book of the Bible. In Genesis 1, we hear that formula. It was morning and it was evening the first day. And it was morning and it was evening the second day. And on through the sixth day. That's the formula. Then we come to the seventh day and there's no formula. It doesn't say there was morning and there was evening the seventh day. Why? Why is there no formula? It probably means that the seventh day is an ongoing day. In other words, the Sabbath has continued since creation was finished. The work of making the world is over, and now it's time for God to do something else. Now it's time for him to reveal his purpose for creation. His purpose is to build his kingdom. Now's the time for the one we call the Lord of the Sabbath to move among his people, call us, and now for us to go on the Sabbath, this ongoing Sabbath, and to take the good news out to the nations. That's his purpose now, to work out his plan for creation. This is how God is working. This is partly what Israel was trying to capture as it observed a Sabbath among the nations in the land of Canaan. Israel was modeling something very important. Come and rest in God's mercy. Come and rest in this loving and holy covenant. If you think of the covenant between Israel and God as a marriage covenant, the Ten Commandments were the rules for the marriage. This was the framework. Come and rest in your marriage with your Creator. Come and find the rest that your soul craves. As you're trying to flourish as a person, come and discover the rest that God offers you by being in a relationship with Christ. There's the spiritual aspect, isn't there, of this rest? But there's also a very practical, physical aspect of the rest, too. By resting physically on the seventh day, Israel was modeling something also very important, that physical rest is vital to people. If we're going to flourish, we have to get rest. There's a great story of the great Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, who had a major pulpit in London in the 20th century. And someone came to him, and Martin Lloyd-Jones had trained as a physician. And a man came to him and said, "I'm so spiritually depressed. Life is so gloomy." And Lloyd-Jones asked a few questions and diagnosed that the man was physically tired. And he said, "Do me a favor. Go away and sleep and rest for a week and then come back." And the man came back and he said, "I feel so much better. I'm not spiritually depressed anymore." The man was exhausted. He needed to rest. We need that too. Our bodies need physical rest, and also something else. Our families and friends need us to be well-rested people, because if we're not well-rested, we won't be physically present with them. They won't get our best. They'll get the leftovers after we've given our best to other things like our earthly jobs or our hobbies, and they won't get the best that we have to offer them in relationship. Also, if we're going to be helpful members of our church family, we need to be well-rested so we can gather with the body of Christ on Sunday, not distracted by work. That's not a bad way of thinking about God resting from the work of creation. He now rests, not by sleeping, although we can certainly do that, but he rests by moving among us and building his kingdom on earth. And of course, we remember too that Jesus himself rested. We know this. He worked very hard to train and teach his disciples, but he also rested. And when he rested, part of his rest was spending time with his Father in focused, intentional prayer. And we're pretty sure that there was time for relaxation with the men and women who were traveling with him. So rest includes a lot of things. It's time for worship and praise with your church family on Sunday, but it's also meant for the great fun things you love to do by yourself or with your family and friends. So that's the first thing Israel was told to remember. Remember that God himself rested from the work of creation. Don't work all the time. You need to imitate the Lord. Embrace a holy rest, which is a deliberate choice. And in some ways, in our culture, it's a radical choice because it's saying, I'm choosing not to work all the time. And I'm choosing actually to trust that God will provide for me even while I'm not working. I actually trust God enough to say I trust him with leisure time and rest time. When you do this, when you rest this way in God, you're really grounded and everyone's happier. You're happier. If you have a spouse or a partner, they're happier. Your kids are happier. Your animals are happier. Even the guests in your home. I can tell you that when you show up here on a Sunday morning well-rested and ready to rest with the members of your church, your pastor's very happy too. When we actually rest on the Sabbath, we're actually starting something that's going to reach perfection in heaven. This is something that we're going to live fully in the new heaven and the new earth. When we rest today on the Sabbath, we're capturing that ongoing Sabbath that's been in motion from the time God finished the work of creation. We're actually saying that we are stopping work. We're going to rest in Christ. We're going to enjoy the relationship that God has made us for. Your rest today on July 14th is important for you today, but it's also a sign pointing ahead to the new heaven and the new earth. You're capturing that rest. When you embrace that rest, you find that you truly flourish as a person. That's the first thing. Remember that God rested. Go and do likewise. The second thing the people of Israel were told to remember in Commandment 4 is this. Remember how God rescued you. God rested, but then he rescued you from the land of slavery. This part of the commandment is not in Deuteronomy 5. It appears in the first version of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And it shows up in Deuteronomy probably because it reflects the theme of Deuteronomy, which is for Israel to constantly remember who God is, who they are as God's chosen people. This mention here in Deuteronomy 5 was really meant to nudge the people or spur the people of Israel to make them go back to their history. Go back to your history. Remember that God delivered you from the land of slavery and oppression. When you remember in that way, you're more likely to be thankful to God than to be obedient to him. So memory is meant to help with obedience. And of course, for us, we weren't slaves in Egypt, but we were slaves to something called sin, and God has delivered us from that through Christ. Memory for us as Christians is very important because there are times when we stray, don't we? We get cold in our spiritual life. Our beliefs may get a little shaky, and our spiritual practices get a bit shaky. Memory is very important. Remember how God first revealed himself to you. Remember the joy of that. Remember how he helped you in a time of suffering. or struggle or temptation. Remember how he sent you a blessing in the form of an answered prayer, or maybe someone to come and walk alongside and encourage you. Remember a verse of the Bible that he drove home into your mind and into your heart to encourage you or to correct you. When you remember like that, be grateful and let the memory lead you to be obedient. Those are the two major points we get from the fourth commandment. Remember that God rested. Remember that he rescued. And he still rescues people today when they respond to Christ and come into his kingdom. So at this point, I'm going to shift now to think about how Jesus transforms the fourth commandment. How did Jesus transform this Sabbath day? He transforms it really in two ways. He transforms it by revealing himself as the one who actually was active in that work of creation. Jesus was active in creation. He transforms it by showing us that he is active in delivering his people from slavery today. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 5. He's just been accused of working on the Sabbath by healing. John picks up the story and says, "In his defense, Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working.'" There you get that ongoing Sabbath, right? The ongoing Sabbath, God is still at work. Jesus is working. We know here God the Father and Jesus worked to create. And now Jesus is working in his earthly ministry. He continues this work today through his people, who are filled and led and sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 2, which we just heard, Jesus calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the Lord of this rest. The Lord of this ongoing and holy rest. And that was one way Jesus called himself divine, God in the flesh. He's really trying to tell his listeners there in Mark 2 that he could work on the Sabbath because his work was consistent with the work of the Father in creating and calling people to himself. What is the work of Jesus? He lays it out in Luke chapter 4, where he worked to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. That's the work of Christ. That's the work of the church, extending the kingdom of God, and this work obviously continues today through churches like ours. We work to proclaim the same things Jesus did, proclaiming freedom that truly leads to human flourishing, freedom in Christ, proclaiming freedom in Christ for those who turn to him in faith, if they'll just turn. Listen to how our Anglican Catechism describes the fourth commandment and the part that Jesus plays in it. And as catechisms do, it starts with a question. The question is this: how does Jesus bring Sabbath as God's eternal gift to you? In other words, what does Jesus have to do with the fourth commandment? Here's the answer. Jesus now offers himself as the source of my true rest. He offers himself as the source of my true rest. There's so much in there. What does that mean? The Catechism goes on to say, it's true rest from the slavery of sin, from the wasteland of human striving, and from Satan's legacy of futile toil, pain, disease, and death. In other words, Jesus is the source of my true rest because he delivers me. He frees me from that wasteland of trying to strive to build up myself, build up my own rest, and he rescues me from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is the source of our true rest. He is Lord of the Sabbath. And that's how he transforms and fulfills this fourth commandment. He is the living word of creation. John's Gospel, chapter 1, says that through Christ all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We are called to rest in him, to rest in him, to do our good works in him, in his name, under the guidance and influence of his Holy Spirit, to rest always in him, to to rest in the one who willingly offered himself when we turned away from his rest. We had the rest in the very beginning at creation. We turned away. Then the Father sent the Son in order to bring us back. As a church family, we're a family that gathers on a Sunday for a reason. It's the Sabbath. It's the day of the resurrection. We gather to imitate what God has been doing since the end of the sixth day of creation. The seventh day has been going on since then, and we join in this work, the work of not building God's kingdom. We don't build it. He builds it. We invite, we proclaim, we announce, and we come alongside people and say, would you like to get to know this King? Would you like to experience the holy rest that comes from knowing Christ? Back to that little story at the beginning. When we gather to rest on the Sabbath, I hope we're gathering and using the ministry we have here on a Sunday morning, the ministry of the Word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, the ministry of the sacrament, this holy food from God's table. Those are great ways and powerful ways to sharpen our axe, to sharpen our axe for the spiritual work God gives to His church. Today, I hope you're fed and encouraged by His holy word. I trust that you'll be fed by the spiritual food from the Lord's table. Rest in the Lord this day. Rest in the Sabbath. When you leave here, go to serve Him and go to have fun. Go to enjoy Him as the Lord of the Sabbath. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you have called us to observe this day of rest, Lord, not as a slavish devotion, but as a way to truly flourish and find the fullness of joy in the presence of Christ. Help us to do that, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon our time together this morning as we leave this place to go and love our neighbor as ourselves and bring glory to your name. Amen.